You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons Family Matters podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up. I'm Lisa Oppenheimer, and we're going to start out today with a question. What does the back of your car look like? How about your kitchen counter? Family room floor? Is it covered with stuff? If so, you are so not alone. Clutter seems to grow with children. After a while, most of us just surrender to the stuffed animals. But my guest today says there's a better way. Mary Lou Andre has spent her whole career helping people get organized. She's author of the book Dressing Well and owner and CEO of her own company called Organization by Design. And she's going to show us how to take back our kitchen counters and corral that clutter. Mary Lou, welcome.
Hi, Lisa. Great to be here.
It's so nice to have you. So I'm going to ask my first question, which is, how did you get into the business? And more importantly, what does your house look like?
Well, I got into the business because I am very passionate about organization. It's always been a key ingredient to my success, even going way back to high school. So it's really gratifying to be able to create a career around something that comes kind of naturally to me. I've also taught a lot of people on how to be organized, and the company actually morphed from being a closet organization firm to today, we're really professional image consultants. However, that closet organization piece and helping people do more with less continues to be the sweet spot over and over and over again.
Well, you didn't answer that one question. What does your house look like? Humble us all.
Okay, I'm pretty organized. Not perfect, and I have definitely become more relaxed since the entrance of my two beautiful boys into my life 18 years ago. But the cool thing about kids is organization can also be taught, and it can be taught in a way that honors who they are. I have twins, nature, nurture. I have one that's naturally organized, one that needs a little bit more help. But both of them get it done in a way that works for our household. Again, not perfect, but the key really is eliminating a lot of the stuff that they have, and that is a decade by decade approach. What they need the first 10 years changes from what they need the next 10 years. And as we're getting ready to head off to college in my house, that's even shifting a little bit more.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to getting rid of that stuff a little bit later, but I want to start at the beginning, which is before you have a baby. A baby is on the way. How do you get organized? How do you lay the groundwork for an organized parenthood?
Great question. I think the key concept is every time you have a significant lifestyle change is a great time to hit the pause button and say, what does my space look like today? What do I need and how do I use it? What do I need the space to do for me in the future? When we first had our boys, we were living in a fairly small home in Needham. We've expanded on that footprint now, but in the beginning, we didn't have a lot of space. And I always say, just by getting rid of things, and I don't mean throwing them into a dumpster. I like giving things a new home. I like thanking them for their service. But we went from a spare bedroom to a twins room. And checklists help, Lisa, you know, really getting clear. And then I think as Americans, we are a society of, we just buy everything. Being very conscious, being a conscious consumer, and that's a very in vogue word right now, but I have to really say I always practice that. Couldn't have labeled it that way 25 years ago, but that really is the key.
Well, so the world is filled with gadgets for new parents.
Yes.
So what are the kinds of things, I would stay away from a list of things that you should get because some of that is personal, but what are some of the things maybe you'd want to avoid so you start off with less clutter?
Yeah, I think, again, getting very clear on what you need. There's so many baby showers and things like that. There's great registries. There's also great resources on the web that weren't around when you and I were going through this, Lisa, that really can get you to be clear. And then, you know, being a little bit more of a self-advocate. Thank you very much for bringing twin baby outfits over every time you visit XYZ person in my life. But what I really could use is an extra hour of babysitting, or I could really use help with a meal right now. Thank you so much, but we have a lot, and I'm really trying to honor my space. The other thing I think is, as a society too, people really, houses have grown. Everything is bigger, cars are bigger, everything's bigger, and I think it just invites that kind of mental capacity to add. And I know that I am a much happier person. I know my clients are much happier people when they have less stuff to manage. So it's owning it, putting the brakes on it, and managing it. And if too much stuff is coming in, return it, donate it, make yourself feel good about your stuff.
How are there any secrets to organizing your stuff once you have it?
Absolutely. The biggest secret is really not a secret in organizing around all categories, whether it's kids' toys, closets, kitchens, garages, is to divide and conquer. It's really about looking at the space and saying, this is where I'm going to store kids' clothes. This is where I'm going to store the art projects. And when I had two boys, and I remember that at one point started to grow in my home, and I went out and bought a plastic tub and said, I don't really need any more art supplies. I was always a working parent. My children went to daycare, so they had a lot of that there. I didn't need my house to become that at that time in my life. So I remember going out, and that's always been one of my tricks. Like, I'm a tub queen. Let's go buy a tub, and whatever fits in that tub stays. Everything else can go.
That actually brings up a really interesting point when you talk about, now you were talking about art supplies, but the other side of that is artwork. And if you had a child that was going to a child care center, you know all about artwork. Mm-hmm. So that's a big question for parents. How do you deal with that?
Oh, that's a great one. I remember getting really stumped on that one and always going to... The other thing is you can have, like, organizational mentors. I always knew people that were better at it than me, and I would just go to them with questions. But I remember going to a good friend about that because it would just kill me to be throwing that stuff out. So I remember I went to an art supply store, and I bought a big, like a canvas, like an art case. And I had one for Tim and one for John. And it made me, once again, kind of goes back to that storage concept. Whatever fit in it was keepers. And it made me decide what the important stuff was and what could go. Some people I've read, I'm a kind of a junkie with this stuff. I've read people take pictures. That's not me. If I take a picture of my kid's heart, it's going to be saved in my phone forever. It's just not who I am.
Right.
So again, it's that less is more. Special moments, of course, you want to preserve, but you don't need a ton of them to represent and honor a stage of your child's life.
Yeah, and I do find that so often once it's gone, it's out of sight, out of mind. You're not,
correct.
You know, you have this tug of war giving away this precious item, and then you don't even remember that you have it.
Right.
Now, you talked a minute ago about divide and conquer, which is something that I feel very strongly about because I have this way of, you start with the junk drawer, and you find something from the junk drawer that needs to be put away in another room, and before you know it, you have a trail leading through the entire house with junk everywhere, and at the end of the day, you look at it and say, I don't know what to do with it. You put it all back where it started from and close the drawers. So how do you avoid that scenario and actually get things done?
Okay. I think part of it, especially for working parents, is you have to schedule the time to get at it. So for instance, a good example is my husband and I, over the December break this year, had both of us had the week off, and we said we're going to tackle the basement. And part of that was a transition. We had my kids both play sports. I had more cleats and balls and bats, and we said this is the week we're going to do this. And it started like at 8 a.m., 2 days after the holiday, and we just got it done. And it ended up going to IKEA. But the first thing really was to get rid of everything, give it a new home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cannot reorganize your space. You can't deal with clutter if you don't part with things. And then whatever was left, which was really not a lot, believe it or not, and to your point, I had a lot of uniforms that were very meaningful to me. I'm going to have them made into a quilt when the boys graduate.
Oh,
so I took all the special teams that they were on, and there was a lot, and I got rid of a lot of uniforms too, but I took those special teams and I put them in each, went to the Container Store, shameless plug, but I love the Container Store. I just got a clear pouch that I could put them in, and now I haven't acted on it yet, and you know, a lot of organization is actually acting, but I have the two pouches and I do have a goal in September. I'm also very goal oriented, and I think to be organized, you have to be, and it doesn't mean you need to be crazy, but I have like a little note things I'm going to do in September when I'm back. Summer is crazy. And one of them is to send those to the woman who I've already identified that can turn those into a quilt. So it's really getting creative with your things and also giving yourself permission to let things go.
Now, a few minutes ago, you talked about giving things away, finding them, thanking them for their service, and finding them a happy home. There are some things, do you have any tips for that? Because there are some things, you talk about uniforms, my kids had trophies. What do you do with certain things like that? Mm-hmm. I love the idea about the quilt. Any other great tips for things that are difficult to find a happy home for?
Well, the National Association of Professional Organizers is just an incredible resource. I tap them whenever I have, like if you just said trophies, I have no idea what to do with trophies, but I can guarantee you somebody on that site, and they have really nice posting boards, has that solution. So, and there's also a great New England chapter, so that's a great resource for working parents. The other thing, and I'll share this with you because this is how I've always dealt with this with my children, is from a very young age, so we'll just talk about clothes now, I never gave clothing a lot of power in my home. So going back to my bin system, when things didn't fit, they went right into a bin. They have a lot of first cousins, so things went to Ryan, things went to Bobby, things went to whomever. We always had a lot of neighbors in our life, so certain things went to our next door neighbors. So always having a plan. In terms of clothing, I bring my clothing and the boys and my husband's clothing to three places. Dress for Success, I bring my professional wear. I also do a lot with the Needham Community Council because it's in my local community and they take everything. And I also bring a lot of things to Morgan Memorial. So having those resources and then having the system at home. So if you went into my basement right now, in my washing machine and dryer in my basement, there are two tubs organized where I collect things. I also have a puppy in my life today, 2-year-old, aww, who I adore. And now I have a bin for the animal shelter. I bring sheets, towels, everything, because I can't stand throwing out good things. And when I can make those into a really solid donation, and I'm a little bit of an outlier, I know. I actually mail it to the shelter. I pay for the postage. I write a little note, you know, from Susie's mom because I got her at a shelter. So whenever I have, I'm constantly reading newsletters, and when I see I need this, even I'm on the board of Anton's Dry Cleaners. They run an amazing coat, kids coat program. That's a very easy way for me to save coats. I do a lot of work with Belle of the Ball, which is a prom donation drive. I don't have any prom dresses left, but I certainly have friends that do. So I am always, and we store those in our office. So I look for storage places, but then to your point earlier, I act on it. Mm-hmm. So I don't just let the clutter mount. I have days of the week. Usually a lot of times on Mondays, I work a lot of Saturdays, so I take Mondays off a lot. I might run up to the Needham Community Council with a whole bunch of stuff. So that's how I personally do it. I don't let a lot of stuff in. What comes in needs to have, there needs to be a plan for when to release it. And I make time at least twice a year to have a day, kind of a home maintenance day. Mm-hmm. And that seems to work fine for me. And it is kind of a day-to-day process. Even things like when I have too much in the food pantry, in my pantry, I bring it to the food pantry. Mm-hmm. I never want to get, because I know, for me anyway, I don't want to be beholden to material objects. I want to have kind of a lot of space and better energy in my house.
That actually is a great secret right there, is not being so attached to your material objects.
Correct. And that's very hard, Lisa. In my work as a wardrobe consultant, the number one, I get asked this question all the time, what is the number one issue people have, or what is holding people back from really having the image that they want? And it is not releasing what is not working for them. You wear about 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. And I do a lot of executive coaching in this space, and I'm with executives that say, I want to be a better speaker, I want to get the promotion. And then they don't want to get rid of stuff that was part of their last job, part of their last story. And I see it all the time. And when I did write the book and asked people what was the best thing our firm has done for them, and again, organization is a piece, but we're shopping, coaching, helping with presentations, all that, 9 out of 10 of them said, you helped me get rid of things that I no longer needed that were holding me back.
You talk about having great organizations. We here love Cradles to Crayons. That's one of our favorites for donations. So a little plug for them.
Okay.
So day-to-day, we talk about getting rid of stuff. We talk about bins, which I think is going to factor in here. But day-to-day, you know, we deal with clutter. Mm-hmm. What is the secret to, beyond the big cleaning that goes on your Saturdays or vacations, day-to-day, what's the secret to having a house that doesn't feel like you're surrounded by toys and stuff?
It's about managing the incoming and the outgoing and being very on top of it and very aware and very deliberate. For instance, when you go shopping for clothes and you buy 10 new pieces, release 10 pieces. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Don't shop until you've already done an inventory. Like, don't go to Costco or those big box stores until you've gone down and inventoried what you actually need. Because that stuff is bulky. Clothes are bulky. Sports equipment is bulky. So that's kind of how I do it. And I get crazed if I go and I've got 5 years of trash bags and I buy another 5 years. I get like, oh,
yeah.
I don't like that. And it does, and I do not live in a big home. So for me, and I live in an older home without the closet space that some of these newer homes have, and I've had to be very creative. I think everyone in my family does A-OK with that. And my boys actually share a room, so and there's no TV or anything in there, so I'm kind of, that's kind of their sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, even though they probably won't admit it, and they are not neat freaks at all, when their room is picked up, I know that they feel better going to bed. Everybody does. Think about it. The personal psyche. And having said that, there's a lot of people that I know that are super busy, lots of kids, busy jobs. They can't have, and it's not their thing. I mean, thank goodness for those people. they keep me very, very busy. But even the notion of setting up, you know, your clothes before you go to work, or putting the cereal together in the morning before you have to get out, at least you can start your day thinking that you're ahead of the game and you're not scrambling. And other people have a very different tolerance for clutter, and that's okay. My whole approach is it working for you? Is it not? And most people tell me that too much clutter is not working for them. And then you take baby steps. Some people want a major overhaul and a major system put in. Other people just want it to be, they want to be able to find their shoes before they leave the house.
Mm-hmm. And that's... I think one of the things I want to do is let people off the hook a little bit, because clutter is a little bit different from scouring house cleaning.
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
no question.
We're not saying that people need to have a sparkling, clean, dusted house at all times. That's something that working mothers carry around guilt-wise
time. And I've actually learned over the years to be kinder to myself, where my kids are 18 and they're getting ready to launch into college, and I'm holding on to every moment. So even this past weekend, I had an opportunity to just run out and enjoy a boat day unexpectedly, and the dishes weren't done, the beds weren't made, and I'm seizing that, and I've had to learn that. And so I do not ever come from the place of that you have to be neat and tidy all the time and that rules. I just get saddened when people are being overrun by things. And I always say it took a long time for the space to get like that. Mm-hmm. Take some time to undo it, whether it's the garage, the pantry, the closet, the basement, whatever it is.
The car.
What's the secret to the car? Oh, the boy. Okay, can we get my husband on the line right now? I don't know where I learned it, but when I get out of my car, I pick up the coffee cup, the McDonald's bag, the Dunkin' Donuts bag. My husband does not. I just exercise a little bit of discipline that my car is an expression of who I am. It does shape. I'm in my car a lot. I always call it my Batmobile, my office on wheels. I do a lot of phone calls in there. I like that space to be tidy. Having said that, I also have a dog who sheds. That was an experience, Lisa, for me. I never knew beagles shed so much. And I've let a lot of that go, but I still, because I'm going to business meetings and things, I can't have dog hair all over me if the dog's in the car. And I also don't feel great if that gets out of control. And I've tried to teach my kids that. I've tried to teach my husband that. But the car can definitely be that out of sight, out of mind. And again, it goes back to your psyche. I mean, I've had people that work for me, that I've worked with, that are in sales, and they'll ask me, what does my car say about me? I'm like, I wouldn't be putting a client in there. That wouldn't be what I would be doing, but... You know, everybody's different. It's a conversation.
Yeah, no, it definitely. I mean, having kids changes the car, the fossilized goldfish on the floor.
I think, and quite frankly, children are a wonderful gift in so many ways, but they do help you relax the standards and embrace life in a different way. So I don't want to come across at all like this, you know, persnickety kind of, these are the rules. There are no rules. It's really about how you feel, what your life goals are. And if you want to do... You know, spend more time with your kids. Taking some time to put some structure into your day-to-day living helps you get out the door quicker.
Well, there were benefits. I mean, I was mm-hmm. raising two girls, and they could come to me, you know, in the parking lot and say, "Mom, you got any flip-flops?" I think I do. We had anything
you needed. I love that. I love that. That's a business.
Yeah. I mean, quarters, sure. We can find it somewhere. Yeah, no, I remember those days fondly. Had the office on wheels. I had the dumpster on wheels.
That is funny. Very, very funny.
So one other thing that I want to talk about is toys. And I know that people mm-hmm. are out there saying mm-hmm. That is a big button. How do you manage all
boy,
the toys?
The toys, yes, I remember. Let me go back. Let me think back. I remember that drove me nuts. Full disclosure, I just had a spot in my house, and I just shut the door. I had a room where they could do whatever the heck they wanted to do. I mean, I used to let these children rollerblade around my house, so you can tell I'm not. You know, there was so many dings all over the wall. I actually could handle dings on the wall more than I could handle a lot of stuff in my house. But they had a corner. Actually, it wasn't even a room. It was a quarter of our living room. Again, I do not live in a huge house. And I kind of just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I just did at that point in my life. And it did drive me crazy, Lisa.
I'm sure it did.
But I have somewhat well-adjusted children. So I think everything turned out okay.
Closing the door is an excellent strategy.
Yes,
I have
closing
to say.
The door. I do that a lot. Yes, I do that a lot.
And you, it also goes back to what you said earlier, is mm-hmm. asking people not to bring the pony and maybe offer you an extra hour of babysitting instead. Yeah, no, I definitely could live with that. Well, any final pieces of advice for people trying to manage the clutter in their universe?
Yes, and I know your audience here, too, is a lot of working parents, and I'm one of those. I think you got to be realistic. I also find a lot of women, we're so hard on ourselves. You know, getting some professional help is money well spent. Having your house cleaned once a week, twice a month, once a month, once a quarter really goes a long way to kind of jumpstart the process of getting together, putting in some simple systems, and really being mindful of what you're allowing in your home, because that's when it starts to take on a new life. And it's really not that, I mean, I'm a coach in this space. People, it's a really coachable mm-hmm. moment. It's a coachable topic. People really do embrace simple, and I hope I shared some of those today. I think the takeaways are, you know, the tubs, not to harp on that, but the tubs have always worked. Making an inventory before you go to the store, mm-hmm. preparing the night before. I've always done that. My clothes are out the night before. Not anymore, but when they were little, breakfast was, the cereal was out. It was never bacon and eggs, trust me. Trying to get two out the door to daycare.
Oh, yeah.
But doing that, because anything can happen in the morning. And I remember several times, you know, everyone can relate to the sick child. Mm-hmm. And what happens. And I always felt that if I had my game on, which was my makeup, hair, and clothes, I could take on anything. And, you know, I can't imagine being in, you know, not knowing where my pocketbook, my keys. The other thing, another great tip, too, to take away, too, is even that, we talked about the car, but people also complain a lot to me about their pocketbook and briefcase.
Oh, yes.
So dumping that out on Sunday night and making sure you've got your power bar, your bottle of water, enough money in there to get you through what you need. It all goes back to the thing that I'm most proud of in the coaching that we provide, and we really do have clients for life and beautiful relationships with folks, is honoring who they are and giving them simple yet highly effective tips that make them feel better.
Any apps, tools that I can add? I mean,
I'm not an app girl, Lisa.
Oh, okay. All right. We won't go. I do use an app.
I'll get my kids in here for that, but I have a couple of apps. I have the Uber app. How's that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Uber. I do have a grocery app. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I catalog all my groceries so I know what I have.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I want to go clean my house immediately. But Mary Lou, thank you so much. I so appreciate that you joined us. You can find more information about Mary Lou at dressingwell.com. Many thanks again.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa.
And good luck with organization, everyone. If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcasts by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.